Winner all of life.
Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising.
Why do you do it better than me? That's not even practice. That's the actual take now, because that was like way too good. You're going to take over this podcast. What the fuck? Okay. This is the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black polyamorous feminist ho living in New York City. And my co-ho of the day, Jamal. A freak like Kim and Adina, she makes work around the body, identity formation, and the future. What's up?
What's up?
How are you doing today?
I'm chilling. I have had an okay-ish morning.
Okay, okay.
I'm not sure if I got enough sleep last night.
Okay.
But as long as you don't fall asleep during... last night.
Oh, hey. Oh, that... Oh, it all comes together. This... And you got that post-dick outfit, honestly. You do.
The walk of shame.
Very cozy.
I'm still in college.
Quite cozy. All right, so this is season two of the Inner Ho Uprising. If you guys listen to season one, we had a totally different co-host. She was there for every single episode, but in season two, I'm looking for a new co-host, potentially Jamal, if she's down. Hey, titty shimmy. We're having too much fun already. Like, what the fuck? But yes, this is the search for a new co-host. So every episode this season, a new person comes into the show and co-hosts with me. So today we've got Jamal. If you are a new listener, once again, we have a couple of segments here on the show. We've got Bae of the Week, where we talk about people who are attractive. Ho of the Week, where I shout out you guys, the listeners. Self-care tip of the week, where we tell you how to take care of yourself. Pay a bitch, fuck that, which is our current event segment. Fuck it, which is our topic of the day, and today we're discussing no fats, no femmes. Topic very special to Jamal because that's the name of your documentary and shit. Yes. Then we're gonna do fuck me, which is about our sex lives. Ow, getting the tea from last night, and then we're going to go into fuck you, which is about you guys' tea. Okay, so let's get into the show. So, Bae of the Week, have you got one? Did you pick somebody?
So my Bae of the Week is not the most. I don't know how to say this. Yeah, they're not the most notable person on Instagram, but they're notable to me. They are a makeup artist, mm-hmm. and they are so popping with the makeup. And they're like, they give me like if like Teddy Graham's beat.
Oh.
If like Teddy Graham.
I'm already like, okay.
If Teddy Graham... like wore a face of makeup, it would be this person.
Who are they?
His name on Instagram is Malik Ritchie, okay. And he is so popping. Like, just look at this picture right here.
Okay. Oh, he is Teddy Graham's meets a beat face. He's literally the cutest thing ever. Okay, well, follow Malik Ritchie on Instagram. That was really cute. It's like beard and then highlighter, which is like the two big trends right now.
And the full chest hair.
He is serving chest hair. Yes, yeah. All right, so now let's go into Ho of the Week. Today's Hoes of the Week are Amorous Lightbeam, who gave us a very nice Instagram shout out. Shout out to you, Amorous Lightbeam.
Shout out.
And then Amos, who paid a bitch this week, and thank you so much, because niggas is poor out here. Let's go into the self-care tip of the week. You had a self-care tip for us.
So my self-care tip is to, one, drink your water.
Mm-hmm.
Two, mind your business.
Mm-hmm.
Three, find some business. And
that
four,
is a message.
light a piece of Mary Jane.
What's your your strain of choice, your strand of choice?
So I just got this, I can't even tell you like what what the new situation I just got yesterday, because my storage is too full on my iPhone.
Oh.
So they erased my text messages, but I appreciate a loud pack, you mm-hmm, know, mm-hmm. of many flavors.
Okay.
I
you like that head high or that body high?
I appreciate a good sativa, so okay. I appreciate a good head high, but okay. Also like a good body high as well. So mm-hmm. I had a really nice indica last week.
Ooh.
And
yeah, let me know. Yeah,
it really slowed me down.
I'm more of a
put
body
me in a chill,
kind of
mellow mood.
That's good. That's good. The head highs, I'm like, huh? What's going on? Is everything okay? Too nervous. Too much of a nervous person. And now we're going to go into pay a bitch. If you guys would like to Contribute to the Inner Hoe Uprising monetarily. You can go to innerhoeuprising.com and click on the Pay a Bitch tab. You can also go to paypal.me/innerhoe if you want to donate to the PayPal for this podcast, for this cockcast. You can also use the sponsor codes used in previous episodes to support our sponsors who support us. All right, so ready to go into the actual show. All right, so this is Fuck That, our current event segment.
Fuck that.
Why are you I'm just about to like record you at the end and then just insert you instead of my voice because I'm getting upset. I'm getting tight. So we only got one story on the docket this week. I feel like it was kind of a slow story. And then also, you know, as it gets warmer, I'm just like, fuck current events.
Right.
Like, I'm just trying to
get outside.
Exactly.
And make
exactly.
some current events.
Yes.
Trigger warning for sexual assault.
I think what I'm probably most shocked by is that there are communities of men online who encourage each other to remove condoms without their partner's permission.
So this week we've got a study documenting the quote unquote rise in quote unquote stealthing, which is the process of removing condoms during sex without a partner's consent. So this is a paper was published recently in the Columbia Journal of Gender and Law by an author by the name of Alexandra Brodsky. So she did this whole report on stealthing, and she talked about victims of stealthing, about like the emotional and physical consequences of it. And she like looked at online communities that promote stealthing and people getting like tips from other people on how to stealth partners during sex. It was all a little messy situation. What do you think about this?
I think it's a very interesting thing. I am hearing stealth in a new context because I have heard it used in a context, in a very trans context, right? Like where a trans woman is not living loudly as trans, but living stealth, right? So living under the radar.
Okay. So not being...
Yeah.
Okay.
Just really not naming it like for a general public, mm-hmm. which is, you know, people don't have to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not what they desire to do because mm-hmm. I think there are consequences that come with that. But regarding this, I think it's a very interesting thing. I kind of LOL'd at it being named as
a trend.
A sex trend because yeah. it's in fact rape, mm-hmm. right? When mm-hmm. someone is removing a condom and not allowing that person mm-hmm. enough bodily autonomy to decide if, you know, having condomless sex is what they want to do.
Exactly.
Right.
Basically, so, doing anything during sex that the other partner has not yeah, consented to yeah. is rape.
It's true.
And that's kind of what, I'm not sure, I didn't read the study, but that's kind of what Alexandra Brodsky is bringing up in the study in general, that like a lot of people feel it's rape adjacent,
yeah.
but they don't quite consider it rape. So a lot of people kind of went like a silent victim kind of route where they're like, ooh, that feels wrong, but I don't even know who to tell or how to say that this is wrong. She also found that one Swiss man was convicted of rape for stealthing, quote unquote, but she was unable to find a single legal case in the U.S. regarding stealthing. And there isn't currently a law on the books that even says that that's illegal, even though we have whole communities of people teaching other people how to stealth.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Like, I've had encounters like this, and mm-hmm. I fortunately caught people in the act, like, trying to take it off. Because, like, you know, like, dudes will try to get really, really slick around this kind of thing. And
how
be like,
do you hide? Like, what are they like? Let me go to the back.
No, it's literally just, like, they will like it. I think it all depends on the position you're in, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
if you are like in, let's say, doggy style, mm-hmm. right, and you're bent over,
yeah, you don't see what's going on.
You're focused on arching your back.
Yeah, you just
you're focused on arching your back, and I not looking back. Someone mm-hmm. like this happened. This is like a real life experience. Like, someone tried to take it off, and like I could feel the difference, and I was just like,
So they penetrated you? And
no, I was just like, I could like hear something happen behind me, and
they weren't
just like,
very stealthy.
Yeah, it wasn't very stealthy at all, right? But like, I think it's a very interesting thing, like instead of just sneaking, you can just ask and say, yeah, hey, exactly. Like, the condom is not working.
Which is
for
where
me.
I think it's kind of like they're like how rape is about power instead yeah. of pleasure. I think they're getting off on the fact that yeah. you don't know that right. I'm stealthing you,
right.
which is awfully disturbing. Something that was trending on these communities was like promoting the fact that this is about a man's right to spread his seed, which I don't even understand what that
That's
means.
That's ridiculous. I think that straight men come up with some of the most absurd theories.
So one of the things about this that she noted in the article was that this was on a homosexual community. This is on a community for gay men. So it's like, all right, you're spreading your seed, but we're not getting pregnant, bro. So what are you spreading?
Wait.
STIs, potentially.
I need like a record scratch. Like, that was... She said that this came from a homosexual perspective.
I don't know what the fuck anybody's talking about anymore. But I think that kind of goes with the whole, like, I don't know, that whole, like, male dominance, patriarchy, misogyny thing can even dip into the gay community.
Take my seeds. LOL.
Can't do anything with that seed. There's no harvest here, nigga. But yeah. I don't know. Stealthing is rape. Don't do it. Yeah, that's all I've got about
or
this.
Or just be honest that, you know, condoms are not working for you. And exactly. discuss that with the partner exactly. that you're having sex with.
Because people understand that, like, yeah. condom sex is, it feels different from condomless sex.
And if condoms make your dick go limp, just say that and don't feel less of a man to acknowledge or admit such a thing.
Mm-hmm. And then there's also different options, like if condoms make your dick go limp because it's too tight,
your partner can wear a condom.
There's female condoms.
Yes.
There's larger size condoms.
Yes.
There's a lot of things you can do if you want to.
There
you
are
both
thinner
can go,
condoms.
You both can go and get tested and wait the little conversion trial and be like, oh, we're both yeah. STI free. We can have condomless sex. Just let the person know.
There are options, boo.
Thank you. Yes, self-care tip of the week. There are options, boo. I'm ready to go into fuck it, unless you want to talk about any other...
No, that's okay. it. I feel like we did stealthing some justice.
We did stealthing some justice.
Fuck it.
You do it better than me. You count me off, which is like, I'm not even in the role of authority anymore. This is Jamal's podcast. Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, hosted by Jamal.
No.
Even Wong was like, God damn. You gonna let that happen to you, son? All right. So today's topic of the day is No Fats, No Femmes, which is the name of your upcoming documentary, yes. as well as, I guess we'll just get into it. But basically, the route that we're taking with this topic of the day, so we're going to talk about navigating dating, sex, and romance as a Black fat femme person.
Yeah.
Cool. So, No Fats, No Femmes, the mantra. Where does that come from?
So, it is a popular refrain often found and seen on profiles on gay dating apps or hookup.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather say hookup in kind of social networking, geolocational apps.
Okay.
You know, apps like Grindr or Jacked. Or websites like bgclive.com or adamforadam.com or
you know,
maybe
I've,
Scruff.
I've heard of bgclive.com and I always thought they were talking about the Bad Girls Club.
No.
So,
Black Gay Chat Live.
Oh, shit. I'm like, niggas really like the Bad Girls Club still. I thought it fell off for a minute, but, okay. And what's like the implication of seeing something like that in the dating world?
For sure. I think it is what, so I, this is maybe a gift to it, right? That I think it is, it's this kind of metaphorical imagining of a world. I don't want to even say a world, but maybe a world like without like these particular bodies, right? Considered for a pleasure and mm-hmm. desire, right? So it's this world where like people are saying that I don't want you a part of this pleasure and desire mm-hmm. if you are not masculine and in shape, right? Because the other part of it is No Fats, No Femmes, masculine and in shape only. And there are also other, it feels like a long scroll of just like,
what are some of the other things?
So I've seen no Blacks, no Asians, I've seen like no trannies, no POS folk, right? So it's just really like
POS is in HIV positive.
Yeah. So a long list of, I think, a long list of no's, right? But like no into like I think bedrooms, social settings, mm-hmm. private parties, often sex parties, mm-hmm. or hangouts, right? So it's a world like where it's a world imagined without these people included, and I think what that do is I think it kind of interrupts possibilities for connection, and I think this happens as a result of how one these app companies like shape the media and promotion and marketing material for the apps, but also I think how our desire is deeply influenced by media, pop culture, and the environments around us, right? People often say that, oh, this is just my preference, as mm-hmm. if preferences go uninformed. Mm-hmm. They don't, right?
So to, like, even pull that out a bit, like, what does it say to, like, there's this thing called the LGBT community, and we're all supposed to be fighting for each other's rights. So what does it say when people who are in the forefront of the LGBT mainstream community, which is white, gay, masculine men, have things like this in their dating profiles? Like when they're so upfront about a prejudice mm-hmm. in a place where everybody can see that, how does that affect the political sphere of what they do?
It shows the limitations, right, of solidarity mm-hmm. within like kind of mainstream LGBT spaces, right, where they are not fighting for the whole, but they're fighting for access for their own selves, right? Mm-hmm. So they're only thinking about their identity in a one-dimensional way, mm-hmm. whereas Black folk can't like see ourselves in silos in that way, right? Mm-hmm. That like we see ourselves as whole beings, mm-hmm. And because of that, I think for them, I think politics may end, right, as soon as they enter their bedroom, or it may end at themselves.
Mm-hmm. It's very disturbing, because then you get the gay marriage movement, and then we've won.
For sure, which is about class.
Okay.
Right? It's about assimilating into a particular class fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you think that in this preference choice that a lot of gay men display in their profile, they're also like how mirroring straight people by the main focus being the marriage equality movement, are they also mirroring straight people in the types of oppressions that they inflict on other people by saying things like no femmes? Like, is that a subset of misogyny?
For sure, yeah. It definitely, so I talk about this a lot in my work, is that I think a lot of these attitudes and behaviors I think stem from a long history of misogyny mm-hmm. and women hating. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of the internalized homophobia and internalized misogyny that I think gay men deal with, it comes from wanting to distance themselves away from, I think, like what it means to be feminine in the world, mm-hmm. right? And I think all of these ideas that, like all of these like normative ideas that have been fed to us via media impacts how people want to shape their lives, right? Mm-hmm. And who they want to spend their lives with. Yeah, so it comes from a long, 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 long history of misogyny, but also just like people not feeling like they could break away from like these like normative notions of being, mm-hmm. right? As if like there are not other possibilities like for shaping a self and shaping a world.
Do you potentially feel like that's a coping mechanism, like in order to be accepted by straight people or the non-LGBT community, we have to shit on everybody who's not ourselves to kind of like align ourselves with them?
Or just right. Or just appear in such a way that
everything is, about me is straight, right, except for the fact that I fuck men.
Right. Or that it's almost for like a straight and white gaze, it seems, right? Mm-hmm. That like I'm shaping myself and my desires in this way. And granted, like, if people want to, I think, like, live their lives in that way, by all means, do you. But I just want people to understand that these preferences, they come from a place, right?
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about, like, the dangerous idea of just passing these things off as, oh, I'm not into fat people, that's just my preference. Like, do you, first of all, do you feel like that's misleading in a way? Because you don't know all fat people to know that you're not attracted to all fat people, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So once again, I keep pointing back to media, because a lot of what people begin to believe about fat people or feminine people, it usually comes from one, like, the fat people that they may know in their lives, or mm-hmm. also like narratives that they've been fed about fat people from media, mm-hmm. from the medical industry, mm-hmm. from various places, right? All of these, I think, like, narratives that often dehumanize fat people, right? And never get at the humanity mm-hmm. of these people. So, and also it's just like all of these, like, ideas and kind of like all of these, like, stereotypes and, mm-hmm. and characters that we often see in the media. Like, people, I think, deeply internalize that and they start to believe, like, these things, like, never ever giving people a chance. Like, I've had so many people, like, who I went to a school with, like, write me on social media and be like, oh, like, I had all of these thoughts about you, but, like, meeting you, like, it was just, like, totally different. Like, I thought that, like, you know, I perceived these things about your personality. I thought you would be this way, but meeting you, like, seeing your work has, like, totally changed my
what did they, like, perceive ideas. About your personality.
There's this often idea that I am, you know, loud and messy. Mm-hmm. Maybe I am.
You know, first of all, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, right. Maybe I am. But it's really, like, all of these, like, things that, like, they like to problematize and shame, like, I think women and feminine folk for, right? Being too emotional, right? Mm-hmm. Being too sassy. All of these things that people like to believe about people that are not themselves. But mm-hmm. back to the conversation around, like, this kind of dating app culture, I just think it's just very interesting how people shape these private lives, right, that are so different or that contradicts with these kind of public things that they like to fight for, right?
Mm, that's a good point.
I think that those contradictions make us human, but my goal is just really helping people understand how all of these things work, mm-hmm. and how they intersect with the other.
Yeah, I read somewhere that I don't remember what article I was reading, I'm so sorry, but you had said that your goal of this documentary is not to
get laid.
Make people want to fuck you.
Because I get laid, boo.
You got laid last night.
I did.
You have a head tie on. Which is, like, if you go out with your headscarf, you probably got fucked. Like, you probably got digged down last night. But,
It's true. It's true.
So, basically, your goal is to, like, interrogate the reasons why we feel attracted to who we feel like.
Yeah, or just really interrogating constructs of beauty, mm-hmm. that places bodies in hierarchies. That's it. It's just, like, right, beauty is not a thing that, like, you should feel that another person can't feel. We all deserve to feel it, right? Mm-hmm. But that would then complicate how we show expressions of beauty, right? It should be shown in multitudes, not one fixed idea that is Photoshopped on the cover of a magazine.
Mm-hmm. So in your work, you talk a lot about the politics of desirability being shaped by the media, and also capitalism.
Right.
So can you explain a little bit of the ways that capitalism shapes, like, oh, fat bodies are this, fit bodies are this,
right,
women bodies should do this, and masculine bodies should do this?
Sure. Like, I was just talking about magazines. I think magazines is at the core of it. Like, people literally starve themselves to look like what they see in magazines, right? Mm-hmm. And magazines make these things so that people can do that. Because if you literally, like, present these ideas to people, what are they going to go out and do? They're going to go out and buy waist trainers. They're going to go out and get on diets, right? They're going to go out and do everything that they can do to get, like, that body that they see in magazines. And that body is not even shown as is. It's often, like, airbrushed, it's Photoshopped. It's, like, all of these things that these magazine editors and layout editors do to make sure that it looks aesthetically pleasing so that it can go on a shelf and sell, mm-hmm. right? That is definitely a capitalistic model, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think about, like, ESPN, right, in their annual body issue. So while I was a student at Morehouse, one of the things that we did while I was a part of the Maroon Tiger, which is our student newspaper media group at Morehouse, we did a body issue that challenged ESPN's body issue. Because ESPN's tagline was "Bodies We Want," mm-hmm. right, as a kind of body that you should aspire to and want to have, like, to be, I think, like, a thing in the world or whatever. So we did The Bodies That We Have, right? Showcasing, I think, like, students, like, talking about reclaiming their bodies from sexual assault, like, mm-hmm. talking about their hair journey, talking about overcoming addiction. Mm-hmm. I talked about body positivity. I posed mm-hmm. nude, right? So just, I think, like, really challenging all these ideas and producing counter narratives that challenge, like, mainstream, like, media sources that are driven by, like, often corporations, yeah. like often trying to reproduce.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts about not only them selling like clothes and weight trainers and stuff like that, but like the dieting and fitness industry and how there's kind of been a narrative sold to us that fat bodies are unhealthy bodies and that's why it's okay to discriminate against fat bodies?
Right. Right. I think it all goes back to, one, our understandings of health in our bodies, right? Fatness is always produced fatness is always rendered in our minds as a moral failure, right? By mm-hmm. what medical industries tell us about bodies, as if fat bodies are the only ones that are unhealthy, as mm-hmm. if not the body, if not taken care of and nourished and treated with care, right, can be unhealthy.
Exactly.
Right? We just want to produce this model, like, to you, right?
Yeah,
because there's always something to aspire to, right? Like, if you want to be healthy and well in the world and have a successful life, these are the things that you must do. As if all of those people are just happy when a lot of those people are very unhappy.
Yeah, either starving themselves or...
Yeah.
Taking drugs that affect their bodies or not getting enough sleep. It's not okay to walk up to people and being like, that's unhealthy,
right.
But for the fat body, it's
right.
rendered.
And I just want to, I in my work, I'm just really uncovering shame, like from all, just really peeling back layers of shame that doesn't belong to me. Like, I call it secondhand shame, right? Peeling all these layers of secondhand shame and really embracing the body that I have, the one that I look in the mirror and I find joy in.
How did you come to that place? Or were you always at that place?
No, I don't really subscribe to any magazines.
Yeah.
I am very careful about the media that I ingest, right? And I also just, like, I fuck with me heavily.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm very into, like, making my own imagery and carving out my own path and leaving a blueprint, like, for future generations to find and see that I live in such a way that I live in this way, in such a way that I was chasing after possibility, knowing that there was something else possible for me.
Okay. That's good advice for people out there trying to throw away the shame.
Yeah. Decolonize, I think, or
yeah.
rather just like, I mean, yes, that's a fancy term, I guess. But
break
just,
it down, what just, you mean by that.
Just really, I think, like, breaking your mind away from these things that, like, is currently, like, dominating how you're thinking, right? So throw away these magazines, like, don't subscribe to these things, like, find the beauty in counter narratives that exist, you know, on your Instagram feed, right?
Yeah, they do.
You
because
know?
We're super connected to yeah. everyone these days, so you can find,
go through your family archives, right? You know, like, there
yeah.
there are other places to search for, I think, the beauty of everyday living, not manipulated by media and corporations.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to say mainstream media, because I'm a media maker and you're a media maker and it's not all mainstream, so
yeah.
like, turn away from that and, like, go into your indie
yeah.
networks and such. So in regards to desirability and who is and who isn't desired, how do you think that plays out in life, in love, and in politics?
I think it goes back to how love stories or stories around dating or romance are presented to us. You never see, I think, a fat person in a situation that is not tragic.
Yeah, you don't. Or being, like, the comedic relief.
Right. It's either a tragic story or you find a fat person as comedic
Unless
relief.
Unless it's a fat masculine person, in which case he gets a quote-unquote hot wife on TV.
It's true.
Like, these are the
true.
Things that are presented to
it's
us.
True, yeah. But I just think, for me, it just really goes back to, like, the how our minds are conditioned to, I think, want a certain kind of success story when it comes to love and relationships, right? And I think that deeply influenced how people make media, right? And mm-hmm. how they, and the kind of love stories they write into media. I think the times are surely changing, right? Because mm-hmm. there are a lot of, like, more people, like, daring to tell their own stories. But mm-hmm. I think so much of these things are presented to us around like how we should then shape our own dating lives, right? Like,
mm-hmm. So if you grew up watching, oh, he gets the skinny blonde woman, your preference may probably be for skinny blonde women for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
And you think, oh, that's just who I'm attracted to.
Absolutely.
But is that who you're just attracted to, or is that like who you saw growing up?
Yeah, I mean, people are so hilarious. Like, I've had people like say all kinds of things, but for me, I just like, my first step like towards changing it, I stopped using the apps that like I saw these things on. Mm-hmm. And I started using other ones.
Okay, so let's go back to that. So you started using these apps and you kept seeing that. How did you navigate that at first?
I mean, my first response actually, so I started using the, or I would say that geolocational apps emerged while I was in college. Mm-hmm. And I remember my first inclination was, one, really, I started to change like how I appeared on the app. So I donned fitted caps, you know, here and there, and I tried to like mask up my appearance, but it wasn't working.
Okay, what do you mean it wasn't working? Like, you didn't dig it, or they were like,
I mean, like, I talked to guys here and there, but it wasn't working. Okay. it was a fail. It was a fail. And I remember like as the years went by, I'd grow confident in who I am, and I'd post like things on my profile, like attempting to critique the culture of dating on the app. And I remember writing this very long profile that I can't remember what I said, but I just remember going the fuck off, and people would write me and they'd be like, yes girl, go read off them. You said that, read. But never be like, bitch, let's fuck, you know what I'm saying? Like, that would never be the case. But eventually I just erased my profile, made a new one. I was like, hey, I want to work on a documentary. Like, if you've had these kind of experiences, like, email this email address. I remember making it nofastnofemsdocumentary@gmail.com. I still use it today. Mm-hmm. And nobody really wrote me. Mm-hmm. People were just like, that sounds like a fascinating documentary idea. Like, you should work on that. And I was like, yeah, thanks for letting me know that.
Like, I already know. That's why I'm doing
yeah.
it.
But yeah, I think, yeah. Have I answered your questions, good? Because I feel like I'm just like out of here.
Where are you right now?
Like, trying to think about what to say in such a way that sounds good.
Oh no!
But I need to escape that.
No, yeah, we get you. Yeah. We all get you.
Thank you.
Okay, so how are you navigating? So back then you were just like, fuck it. First you were masking it up, and then you were like, ooh no. Let me make a documentary about this. Which is always the go-to.
I mean, yeah.
Whenever something's bothering you, just make a documentary.
Mind you, I've had, like, in-between spaces, right? People will... So it's very interesting that people... It's so much a part of the culture that sometimes people will write it on their profiles, like, just to, like, not attract certain kind of people, right? Like, they'd write it just to kind of feel cool, you know what I'm saying? And maybe that's not the case for a lot of people, but mm-hmm. some people just write it because it's a part of the app culture. Mm-hmm. And it's like a necessity that goes on your profile. It's a part of my about me because one is I think it comes from internalized kind of like self-hate, right? It can also be self-hatred, mm-hmm. right? And that like, I'm going to immediately put this on my profile so I don't attract certain kind of people.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever encountered, like when you were like masking it up or whatever, did you encounter sexually, romantically, whatever, people who put no fats, no femmes in their profile and kind of like uncover more about them, like this nigga's really into like fat.
So I've had with men who maintain a kind of no fats, no femmes politic like publicly, right? It may not be on their profile, but like they never want people to know that they've had sex with me.
Mm. How does that?
Because there's such a profound shame attached to like deriving pleasure from fat bodies or non-masculine in shape bodies.
And how does that break down like in and out of the bedroom? Like, do they affirm you, would they affirm your body while having sex with you?
Listen, I have produced pleasure for many men. I have made many men happy.
Many men.
Yes, I have made many men happy. Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's just that people just...
And then when they're in the public world, it's just, no fats, no femmes.
I don't know you.
That's crazy. Have you ever seen anyone on the street who you had sex with who was just like, irks?
Honestly, I'm never really interested in, like,
maintaining.
Yeah, I maybe that's my own, like, shit, but, like, I don't really like to maintain, like.
I feel you on that.
Like, I mean, I'll speak because I'm a very kind and hospitable person. I'm from the South. but it's just always so awkward.
When you see him in
public. Yeah, so just like, I'm not trying to be like, hey, what's up? Like, we fucked last night. So I'm
not, hey, everybody.
Hey, like, hey, like, he fucked me. Like, I'm not interested in that. So I often wonder what goes through people's minds. Maybe I need to do, like, some oral history work with men that do put it on their profiles just to get more, like, research. But
I wonder how that, like, if they're.
But I
posture
do,
changes.
Yeah, but I do know that people, like, feel ashamed for having sex with fat people.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Or feminine people. They just have, there's so much shame around it. I don't know what it bring up for people, but it's not the thing that we experience when we're in the bedroom together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so all that goes to the science. Like, let's have a good time. Yeah. And then...
I know plenty of people who be up in, like, fat people's DMs and but what have it on their profiles is just like it. Some people wear it like a fucking badge.
Yeah, it's kind of like in elementary school. Like, all of life is just one big elementary school. Yeah, where people, like, were like,
"Grow up!
I wouldn't talk to her. She's ugly."
Right.
And then that's the person they who do you're the really
same
interested
thing.
In.
They do the same thing. Yeah.
That sucks.
It's like, grow up and just be honest about what gets your dick hard and what gets your rocks off.
Not only is it harming the people who you're shitting on and then trying to fuck, but it also harms yourself because you can't, like, be your full self if you're doing that shit. So, buzz off with that. So, how are you currently navigating the dating world since you've put some of these apps?
I don't know that I do navigate a dating world.
Okay, well, what are you navigating? Because you were somewhere last night with that head wrap. And we want to know why.
I was at home in my bedroom in Brooklyn. I don't think I know what dating is. Like, I think that because I think geolocational dating apps are so prevalent that I think what it has produced is like it produces kind of insatiable kind of like cravings for connection that usually becomes about sex, about this kind of like really quick exchange.
Yeah, it's kind of like, how many people can I lay?
Yeah, and it produces so many options for people that I think it becomes so addicting, right? And that people are only interested in how many people they can have, right? Versus like, I think like what something over time might be able to come in. Whatever, like, everybody doesn't have to be into that.
So have you ever dated anyone?
I tried.
How did that go?
Fail.
Tell us about it. this is also known as therapy.
I feel like people, I literally have had people like attempt to court me just to have sex, and I'm just like, wow, dude, you could have just been like, I want to smash from the top, and I would have probably had sex with you.
Yeah.
And I could have determined how I'd interact with you from that first encounter. Do not ever try to court me to get some ass, like,
that's,
or to get sex. Like, that is
mantra.
Stupid.
That's what it is. That's like what
that's
they
so
do.
So stupid. Just be like, I want to smash from the rip, and I'll probably let you know, like, if I'm down or nah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we all have agency these days.
For sure.
We're like, not like, for I met sure, you like, on Tinder. I met you on Grindr.
Like, yeah, you
it's,
can let
it's
me
here
know
for us to
up.
Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just don't think that like these apps are designed in such a way that people can build like long term things. Right. Because it becomes about the moment.
And the choice.
Yeah.
The variety of choices.
Yeah.
Okay. So no dating. No romance.
I've experienced the most romance I've experienced is in friendships with my friends. Yeah,
those are people that will really hold you down, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I've the strange part is that I've become okay with that, and I know that there are other options and possibilities waiting, but right now, you know, I'm just like, you know, I get what I can where I can, you know what I'm saying? And like, on on these apps, I encounter men who just really want to have sex. Like, they'll, like, talk all this game about this and that, but they just want to smash.
Mm-hmm.
They want to smash.
That's what we're all going through, honestly.
They want to smash. So, I appreciate someone who just off the rip let you know, like,
yeah,
yo.
Yeah, honestly.
Like, you're a very beautiful person. I want to smash.
Still. Like, compliment me just a little bit, and then I want to fuck you.
Yeah.
Okay. So, is dating apps still, even though they're a piece of shit, is that still where you primarily get your source of dick? Or is it in the wild? Is it friends of friends?
Girl, I get dick everywhere.
Hey.
Walking home from the train station.
No, I definitely see you on Instagram Live just hollering at whatever poppy, and I'm like, damn. This is the way.
Like, the others, hey, I was coming back from the dentist. I got a tooth extracted, and my Lyft driver legit, like, kind of bagged me.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did he say?
I was in a Lyft line, right? And after the first passenger got out, so I got into the Lyft, got into the Lyft wearing my headphones, my Beats, and a pair of shades because I had them. I couldn't carry it in my hand because I had the papers that I had just got from the doctor. I had a bottle of water and an umbrella. I couldn't hold headphones and glasses too, so I put my glasses and my headphones on and got inside the Lyft. Not that I didn't want to interact. I was just like, I ain't even have anything playing because my phone had just died before the Lyft came, so I just literally had it on. It was like there.
Mm-hmm.
And when the first passenger got out, he just like, he asked me, he was like, why are you wearing sunglasses?
And, was it like night?
And it was like, I had my appointment at 4:00. So like, I left there at least around 6:00. So it's like early evening. And he's like, why are you having sunglasses? Like, there's no sunshine. And I was just like, oh, because I have enough room in my hand to carry him. He was just like, okay, there's no sunshine. And he was like, you're in the car now. So I was like, okay, I slid my glasses down. I'm just like, why does he want to, like, why? I'm like, why is it so important for you to see my eyes? So I pull my glasses down, and he's like looking at me through like the rearview mirror. And I'm just like, yo, he is, like, his gaze is penetrating. I'm just like, okay, like, is this something you want to say? So he just started asking me all these questions. And we were having a really good conversation, and then he asked me out.
Asked you out where?
He was just like, we should kick it.
Okay.
Go out for a date.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave him my text-free number.
Yes,
I hope he doesn't listen to this.
Could you imagine?
I'm a bird. Like, you won't get my iPhone number until you graduate.
Yeah. Talking about the real numbers.
Yeah, you got to graduate from fuckboy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a process. It's definitely a process.
It's always a process. So he got that number, but it was just very interesting. But I meet men everywhere, like, everywhere. On my way to work, on my way home from work, in a Lyft, on an app, on Instagram.
The dick is flowing through all mediums.
Yeah, these niggas out here for everybody.
These niggas are for everybody. That's the truth. Okay.
That's why I ain't dating.
I mean, do you want to, do you have any desire to settle down at some point? Would you, like, do that now if, like, he walked through this door right here?
At one point in my life, I was not really interested in dating or partner.
How old are you, for context, by the way?
I'm 26.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, as my life is, like, drastically changing, and I think a lot of things are on the ups for me, right? And I am seeing a lot of possibility in career and a very public life because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have folded into myself, and like, I am home a lot, and literally I go to work and I come home, I go, I step out to an event here and there, but I come home and I am realizing that, like, I am really loving being home, and having people over, and, you know, just cultivating a home life that kind of pours back into me, because, like, so much
instead of feeding out and draining,
and so much of my work, I give so much of me away. I appreciate a home life that kind of restores me.
Yeah.
And, you know, a partner could be a part of that, but I'm not, like, really chasing after it. Yeah. If it comes to me, which I know it will, if it comes to me, it will. If it don't, you know, it don't. There are also other possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're listening and you find Jamal very sexy, I always do that. I do that to every. I'm just trying to get everybody laid.
Yeah, I mean, like, partnered. I mean, I'm laid. I'm trying to find somebody who's trying to commit. You know what I'm saying? Like, because there's Dick always this idea. There's always this idea about femme folks like kind of being for everybody and us being hoes. But the gag is like these niggas be for everybody.
No, that's a fucking fact. They're just not stigmatized for it, honestly. But they've always absolutely been for everybody.
I'll stigmatize that ass for it. What's up? You had him too, right? He for everybody, sis.
So when you first like entered the, I don't know if that's when you even entered the dating world, but when you like hung the whole thing up aside where people were like asking no fast, no femmes or whatever, and you kind of pushed that aside, how do you go into dating situations now ensuring like your safety and your peace of mind when I feel like it's kind of still like nothing's changed?
Yeah.
So
I mean, so a few things have changed for me. So I don't really date gay men anymore. I often find myself having encounters with more straight men. Mm-hmm. I often tell straight men like there's this idea that I think that there's this kind of stigma attached to like dating. I think transgender deviant people like, mm-hmm. oh, like this is making me gay. I was like, I don't give a fuck. You don't gotta be gay if you don't want to be gay. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that is a thing that you can decide for yourself. But if you feel like you desiring me doesn't make you gay, it doesn't make you gay. But mm-hmm. I'm not gonna tell a person they're gay just because they're having encounters with me. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's a thing that you can choose for yourself. And many of them, they choose to identify as straight, so that's what I identify them as. But yeah, I feel like in this way, I feel like the dynamics change. Mm. Like, and I feel like I'm very good about like naming boundaries and making sure that like no one like makes me compromise who I am mm-hmm. or how I take care of myself and how I tend to myself. So I feel like my peace of mind and my happiness are things that I consider always when I'm mm-hmm. entering into any kind of like relationship with anybody. So
mm-hmm. Well, what are the kind of boundaries that you set, if you don't mind asking?
Sure. Mm-hmm. I just, one is not giving my iPhone number.
Yeah, that's an important one.
One is not giving my iPhone number. Two, I think choosing how we interact and engage with each other, where these things happen. And I think three is just like really how much access I give them to myself and my body.
Okay.
That's actually one of the most important.
That's important across the board, honestly. Yeah. Whether you're encountering a no fats, no femmes dating atmosphere or not.
Yeah.
Set your boundaries, make them known. So you left gay men for straight men, even though straight men are the ain't shit proprietors of the world.
Well, darling, men are they.
That's true. But I think straight men are it's straight cisgender men. Those are our enemies on this podcast. You jump ship. As if I'm not dating a straight cisgender man as well. So fuck me too, right?
I mean, yo, you got me.
Problematic dick is problematic dick. Dick is dick is dick.
Listen, good dick is good dick.
Honestly.
Good dick is good dick. You know what I'm saying? I had some last night, boo.
We are going to get into that because you've alluded to it so many times. Okay, what else have we got to say about this? I kind of wanted to get into ugliness, but that kind of went into desirability. But if you have anything else to say about it, because you're the person whose bio I've read, the only person whose bio I've ever read who's like, I interrogate ugliness.
Yeah, so I'm really interested in so much of making this work. I've realized how much beauty is a construct or how beauty is constructed, right? And mm-hmm. in such a way that it shapes certain bodies as beautiful and certain bodies as ugly. And I'm just really interested in ugliness as this place worth exploring, right? Mm-hmm. In that it doesn't have to always be a contrast to beauty, but perhaps a failure of a constructed beauty, right? In mm-hmm. that, like, what I'm just thinking about, like, how someone like Kendrick can dare to say a line like, you know, like, let me see your scratch marks, you without no makeup on, right? I feel like that is often a self that maybe fails a kind of like constructed beauty, right? Or not even a self that fails a constructed beauty, but it's a self that kind of feels pressured to always mm-hmm. like maybe hide a stretch mark, right? Or maybe hide a scar on the face, right? So I'm thinking about ugliness as an embrace of a self that like we're afraid of, right? Mm-hmm. A self that we've been told that is not beautiful or not beautiful enough. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to explore more in my work. I'll probably explore that through photography and other mediums, but yeah, I'm really interested in exploring it.
On this point of ugliness,
yeah,
do you find people ugly?
Yes, but I often find people ugly for how nasty they can be,
like personality wise.
Hell yeah. Like okay. But that like may contradict with what I believe about my work, but yeah, I often use the term ugly cute, like I often say I like ugly cute boys.
Okay.
He's looking like, what the hell?
You gotta expand on that. No, I feel like I get what you're saying, but I yeah, want to
like,
expand on that.
Like, I don't know. I just, I'm really, because I'm really into ugly. Maybe I'm really into ugly people. And like, I feel like it's just really like, it's not a sterile. A sterile, what the hell are you trying to say? It's not really kind of like a conventional or stereotypical like attractiveness, right? It's like a beauty that I don't know, it's kind of that everyday beauty.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Or it's a kind of beauty that I think exists in other ways. I don't know. Maybe I need to think about it more. But yeah,
probably
I
just like you find beautiful what you find beautiful.
Yeah,
and that's ultimately what everyone should find beautiful.
And that's the thing, right? I just think that because I think I have kind of like changed like how, because it's really about training your eyes to see differently.
Mm, yeah, ha. Definitely.
Ebo Sha, church hand. I think it's about really like training your eye to see differently, right? Or also that there are other senses that you can engage. Right, like
that's something that is here, never bought up.
Like the ear, the nose, smell, the mouth, you know, like there are other senses to engage. So I think kind of like there are other senses to engage desires and I often find beauty in poetry in some of the most non-traditional thing. Mm-hmm. So I kind of find ugliness as maybe a non-traditional or a failure of constructed ideas of beauty,
which is why you're ultimately attracted to ugliness, because yeah. You've kind of separated yeah. and broke it down.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
And also that, like, I think some people just have really nasty personalities, and I think that I've saw people say, you know, this person is so attractive but they have such a nasty personality, I think they're so ugly. So you know, I think people use it in different ways, but for mm-hmm. me, I think I find ugliness as a failure of constructed ideas of beauty.
Okay, cool. I like that. I like that concept.
Yes.
Okay, so let's go into, without going into last night, can we go into yeah. some of the peaks and valleys of your dating, sex, romance life as the fat femme? Because you that's what you call yourself, right? Yeah. That's your name also.
Yeah, so I chose this as my Instagram name and Twitter names and social media persona. In 2012.
5 years strong.
5 years of Fat Femme.
5 years of Fat Femme.
A new movie coming soon. 5 years
produced
of Fat
Femme. Produced by Jordan Peele.
Produced, right. Holla at me, Jordan, like Bob.
I could definitely see that.
So, 5 years of Fat Femme. My 5 year anniversary. Oh, that'd be so cute. I should do some stuff around that. But yeah, so I made this as my name because you know that I was like, if people are saying no fats, no fams, and nobody want to be a fat fam, mm-hmm. bitch, I am the fat fam.
The embodiment.
Yes, God, the embodiment of this glorious vision.
I fuck with that.
So, because at first my name on the internet used to be Evolucicism. This is how somebody pronounced it to me, but it was Music is Love backwards. I was a music major in college. I've been singing all my life. So I was just like, oh, Music is Love backwards. I had a whole little Tumblr, I would write about music. I would go to events and stuff. Girl, I thought I was like a music journalist at one point in my life.
I mean, if you're writing about music, you were a music journalist.
Snaps to that. But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, so like, what are the climaxes like to my dating life as me?
Yeah, some good moments, some bad moments, some like,
I mean, so I was talking yesterday with my mentor about, so I walked a ball recently and my look
kinda, describe what you mean gave, by walking a ball.
So if you've ever seen Paris is Burning, mm-hmm. or the new documentary Kiki, mm-hmm. or if you've seen like the rise of kind of like voguing and incorporating into mainstream media, you know that it derives from the house and ballroom culture, mm-hmm. right? A subset of LGBT culture wherein communities of people or people, right, come together and they form houses, right, families, right, that compete against each other at balls, right? Mm-hmm. Willie Ninja in the film Paris is Burning eloquently stated it as, you know, that, you know, gangs, they fight in the streets and gay houses, you know, like they're like gay street gangs that vogue at balls, right? They compete in those ways. Yeah. Maybe I'm paraphrasing, not in the best way, but whatever, you get my drift.
Yeah, watch back. You can watch it
for free at this and point. My look kind of gave like a Black Swan kind of look. And so okay. yesterday, my mentor asking like, have you seen Black Swan? And I was just like, yeah, I saw it one time. The last time I saw it, it was with this boy I was kind of dating at the time. And mm-hmm. it's my freshman year of college. And we went to see Black Swan together. And I remember that there was this really hot scene in the film, right, where he's telling this new girl who is the Black Swan in training to, like, he's trying to help her engage with her sexuality more. Or he's telling her that engaging with your sexuality make you a better performer. Mm-hmm. He was just like, kiss me. And she felt so uncomfortable. And I just remember him kissing me in a movie theater. I've never seen that movie again afterwards because I just don't want to think about him. Okay. I don't want to think about that time, but yeah. I think about that. That was a cute moment. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, oh, look at me. I remember us going to fucking Copeland's Cheesecake in Atlanta Station in Atlanta. And then I rode with him to his stop, which is, it was cute. And like, aww. He kind of kissed me in front of all of these people, which I was just like, oh, okay. Because he wasn't really out like that.
Mm. Crowded train of people?
Kind of. I mean, enough it wasn't as crowded. Like, enough oh, people. Yeah. Like, you know, and during a time like where people, something could have possibly happened. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. Like, give me some, like, what do you want to know? Because I don't really, because I told you, like, people just be wanting to smash. So it's just like.
So, like, I don't know. Like, what was your greatest smash, date, anything? Just, like, high moment of interacting with niggas. And then, like, your low moment. It could be, like, a date, a sex. What am I talking about? A relationship. Something somebody said. Just, like, the epitome. Like, that was that nigga, you know? Or maybe not.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I want to tell my low, because my low is fucking hilarious.
We have to know your low
but
now.
But my low, hell no. Like, my low is a low. It was a key. But, let's see. I don't know. Like, I don't even know if I have a high yet. Like,
okay.
You know, I'm waiting for somebody to, like, take me to that high place.
Okay. I really want to know the low. I'm so interested.
So the low is gonna go there. Okay, so I was having this encounter with this dude, and his penis was humongous.
Okay, this is where it always starts for some reason.
Okay. His penis was humongous, and we had an encounter during sex, mm-hmm. where, you know, so
shit got crazy. Things got out of control. I'm so excited.
Trigger warning.
Okay, TW. I'm getting scared now.
So I want to preface this by talking about T.S. Madison, right, who introduced this concept of a doodoo pulling dick.
A doodoo pulling dick.
Like a dick so big it pulls it things pulls. Out of the body.
It's going into the intestines. And it's just taking out what's in the intestines. Yeah. A colonoscopy, if you will.
Colonoscopy dick.
Baby, I got that colonoscopy. That's what you really should be putting in your dating
profile. Oh my God. It was a weapon of mass destruction, to be honest. I remember I wrote a poem afterwards. Well, but
can I see how large it was with your hands? Or can you describe it like,
oh my God, I won't
remote know. Control.
It was bigger than the remote control, boo. Okay. Weapon of mass destruction. But I just remember an incident happening, what we call painting, and not to be confused with painting the Mona Lisa, but with painting the dick.
Okay.
And you know, those things happen. I think like there's often this kind of like, I think, shame around like it happening, because like people are just like, you're supposed to clean your eyes better than that.
I can't clean in my intestines.
And it's just like, and also sometimes you just, things happen, right? And I no longer feel shame about it happening. It's like, you're fucking an asshole, not a bottle of water.
Yeah.
But this thing happened, and I was not remorseful at all. I was just like, okay, here's a rag.
Like, go wash your dick off.
And he was just like so perturbed. He was like, wow. Like, he was
there's
like
shit in there.
He was like, he was just like, this is disgusting. And I was just like, okay, it happened. Like, this is a functioning body, a living body. And you are inserting a place where, you know, you pull something out.
Yeah.
Because I remember cleaning very well, but I was just like, I ain't clean good enough, apparently.
Exactly.
But I think it wasn't really a low. It's just a really funny story. Uh-huh. But he just started saying all these things afterwards, like, you can't even take dick. And like all of these things.
What am I supposed to do? Supposed to not shit? There's shit in there. What the fuck?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
When was that?
This was like last summer, actually.
2016 was a rough time. This was last summer.
It was last summer. I don't. Yeah, it was last summer, and it was. I remember it being hot outside. I remember him like just saying a whole bunch of disrespectful things.
That's annoying. I don't like that. I don't like when you're like, it's sex, man.
And he was like,
anything can happen.
He's like, you can't even take dick. He was like, you're not even a real trainee anyway. I was just like, oh shit. Yeah, he was hilarious, but that's neither here nor there. That story just really tickled me so much. I may put it in the movie script. I don't know. But it tickled me. That encounter tickled me so much.
That's what we pitched to Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
I'm just putting myself on as producer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to take up my podcast. Yeah, I'll be producer on your film.
Wow. But yeah, that was kind of I think that encounter was a low. I think, you know, like that happens. Like if for listeners, I think, who may have sex in this way, if it happens, you just, you know, clean up and get back to work. You know what I'm saying? Like,
if you're the person who's on the other end of it, like, don't fucking disrespect your partner. Like, sex is mad intimate.
Yeah.
Shit's gonna get crazy. Yeah. Somebody said ill to me one time when I was like on my period, and I was like, it's a vagina, nigga.
Yeah.
What the fuck do you expect?
It's not pushing out water.
Right.
You're not fucking a bottle of water.
Exactly.
Dude.
And if you want to,
fuck a bottle of water.
Make it work.
It won't feel like this.
Hey. Okay, so no high point. What about strange point?
Where it's like,
what's going on here, if at all?
Maybe this is a strange point. I think I had this one encounter, like, where this guy, you know, he thought he was like hitting the spot. He thought he was hitting the spot, and he was.
They often think that they are.
And he was like fucking my thighs, and he was, and I was just like. He was just like, I mean,
you like that?
You know, hey, got a little fat. Hey, my shorty told me that he like it like that. You know, he was just like fucking my, he was fucking my thighs.
I guess
that's the joy of having a fat body.
Uh-huh.
That like he was like literally fucking my thighs. Like he just didn't get it in the spot. And I just remember like hiding under one of my, not really, but like I was like literally like crouched over two pillows and like in the front, I'm on my phone.
Yeah.
I'm like,
were you live tweeting it?
No,
this nigga's fucking my thighs,
I'm texting my girlfriend. I'm just like, girl, I'm having sex and this dude is like literally back here putting in work, sweating. And I'm like giving a fake moan, like, oh yeah.
Oh man, did you ever tell him?
No.
Aww.
No.
That was really polite of you.
That would have crushed him.
It would have.
I just remember him saying, yo, I had such a good time. I'm like, yeah, me too. Me too.
Like the girls, me the thighs, too. they're exfoliated at the very least.
That was hilarious. That's he funny. Was getting off. I was like, damn, he must, I don't know.
Oh, man.
Life is funny.
That's hilarious. I love that.
Yeah, that was a strange point. I was like literally on my phone. I mean, I've been on my phone sometimes.
No,
when I've been on my phone sometimes when it's good too, because I'm just like, I want to document this moment, like orally, you know, orally, not to be confused with O-R-A-L-L-Y, but A-U.
Orally. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So before we end the segment, tell us a little bit about the film itself. Which, yeah. When is it coming out?
So I can't say that. I don't. Okay. I don't want to give you a date and get your hopes up high, but let's very just say that the process is moving along and the film is actually headed into production very soon.
Okay, perfect.
Oftentimes, I think film is such a long journey.
Definitely, especially documentary. People shit on documentary, but it might be to some extent harder than narrative.
No, it is hard.
Yeah.
And I have had a beautiful development period. You know, after crowdfunding, I think I've been able to like really develop the film up into like the point where we're headed into production now.
Okay.
Like really solid ideas have unfolded. So many stories, beautiful stories have unfolded. And yeah, I'm actually meeting with my team tomorrow.
Hey. Tell us about some of the themes that you touch upon.
Yeah, so race, gender, body positivity, desire, ugliness.
Mm-hmm. All the things that we discussed here today.
Many of the things we discussed here today.
Okay, perfect.
And just be ready for some really nice visuals.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us about a little bit about like the stylistics of it.
So it's an experimental doc. If you've ever seen the doc Tongues Untied. So I call the film The Love Child of Paris is Burning and Tongues Untied. Two films that deeply inspired me. Yeah, and so expect to see, like, you know, some traditional cinema verite, you know, some interview, mm-hmm. lots of performance and poetry and archival footage. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you have, like,
maybe some theater.
Hey, you have a little teaser on YouTube where it's the homies up there, Vogan, with the, I forgot the author's name.
Mark Aguiar.
Yeah. Beautiful poem.
Yeah.
Yes, it is going to be very good. I'm excited for its release. And then tell us a little bit about the people, like the subjects who are going to be in the doc.
Well, I am the subject. Wow. Okay. I'm directing a documentary that is featuring me. Yeah, I'm going there, y'all. And at first, I had five subjects. Five really good. They were my all-star cast. But I realized that I was hiding a lot behind trying to use their stories and also just like kind of like developing such theoretical language to talk about this project. Mm-hmm. I realized I was hiding behind all of those things and not really getting at the heart of the matter, which is like my own experiences. I'm using my own dating experiences as a point of departure to talk about all of these very real things that occur in our world.
That's important.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. It's like your love child. It's your baby.
My baby.
Very excited to see it, guys. Stay tuned for whenever Fat Femme comes out, but definitely watch it. Anything else to say about the film or the subject of the day?
You can find out more about the film at www.nofats.com. You can find me on social media.
Oh, we'll do that at the end.
Oh.
We'll do that at the end.
NoFatsNoFems on Twitter. I do have NoFatsNoFems on Twitter. Okay. NoFatsNoFems on Twitter.
Okay.
I didn't make an Instagram or anything else. And NoFatsNoFem documentary on Facebook. You can find out updates there.
That will all be in the notes for this episode. Well, thank you very much. So we're going to go into Fuck Me now. Finally talking about last night.
Fuck me.
I honestly hate you. I'm so envious.
No, we should go over and do look at me. Gotta add a moan and like, oh, fuck me.
Oh my God. Okay, I'll try.
Fuck me.
We went there.
It's okay.
All right. So this is the segment about our host lives. As you guys who listen might know, I don't talk about my life until I get a permanent co-host. So I force my subjects to do it. So tell us a little bit about last night because we are dying to know.
What you did last night?
What did I do? First of all, I'm on my period and it's like day one. So I don't fuck on day one. That's too much.
Word.
I was reading more about you. I was watching The Arrow and Flash on Netflix with my little brother.
Precious.
And eating some corned beef and cabbage. I'm a very basic bitch.
Yes, corned beef and cabbage.
A little bit of mustard.
A little bit of mustard.
Yeah.
Well, last night, I was... A lot of things happened last night.
Oh,
But I was just home chilling. I hung out with two of my girlfriends, Ray and Erin, and we just spent time together. And we laughed and talked about life. Then when they left, I got this, you know, I got a little urge. Got a little text.
Well, I was also like, you know,
this is how I need to end my night. So, you know, I hit up somebody that had been trying to like meet with me for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Since like last year. Mm-hmm. And I hit them up. And they pulled up on the doll. They drove all the way from Manhattan to Brooklyn at 4 a.m. in the morning to put that thing on me. Shout out to you for having a car.
First of all,
that's what I'm into, because niggas be like, oh, it's too late. I don't want to get on the train, or yeah. I don't feel like waiting for the train. All right,
hop in an Uber, nigga. The fuck?
One thing about niggas, no incentive. I mean, like, no drive these days, but you know, shout out to homie who drove all the way from Manhattan to Brooklyn, you know. And text me afterwards saying that was epic.
That's what I always want to hear, yes.
That was epic.
Basking in the glory of me.
That was epic. It was indeed epic. I hope I didn't wake my roommates up.
How many roommates do you have?
A lot.
Okay, everybody's like,
well, shout out to my roommates.
You all got the dick last night. Like, we're proud of you, but we're tired.
That's one of the things that we talk about, though. Like, you know, like, hey, we are all adults, you know, who have, you know, sex is part of our lives. Like, you know. And we're also into, like, soundscapes as well. I feel like we're all into soundscapes. So, yeah.
That's funny. That's fun.
It was a nice encounter.
When did he leave? He came over at 4?
He came over, like, a little bit before 4, I think, maybe.
Okay. He came in at, like, 3:45.
Maybe before that. I don't know.
When was he out?
I don't know. I'll have to check this. Oh, let me see. Maybe I can check the time.
Because Jamal woke up at 10:45 this morning.
I did. I ain't set no. I normally don't set alarms on the weekend. Sex happens so fast.
You just like get in, get out.
3:46 a.m. I am at your door. 4:18 a.m. That was epic.
Oh, damn. That was fast. Did you enjoy? Did he please you? That's how you know you got that bomb, because what was that, like 15 minutes later, 30 minutes later?
That was like 30 minutes later.
He was like, damn, that changed my whole life. Within a smooth 30 minutes.
It was good.
I'm happy.
Yeah, he definitely said I have to see you again.
Hey. Are you going to see him again, though?
He's going to come and see me.
Okay, but you're interested.
I'm very interested. I just made a face for those of you who can't see us in the studio. I made a face. It was a cute face.
Okay. We are excited. We are excited to see where that goes, if we ever do. But if not, we wish you the very best.
Yeah, thank you.
The very best.
Yeah, it was cute. You know, okay. It was nice.
Cute little dick session. Yeah. Cute little dick appointment. And he pulled up at 4 a.m. Because some niggas be like, come through.
He pulled up and he didn't pull things out.
He didn't have the colonoscopy dick. Oh, God. Ooh, okay. Let us go into Fuck You Now, which is the segment about you guys' lives.
Fuck you.
Oh, God. Why are you the best? Why are you doing that? All right, do you want to read this letter or should I?
I can read it.
Okay, go for it.
I'm so animated. Okay. I actually have it put up on my phone.
Okay, cool.
Hi, Sam and co-hosts. I absolutely love Inner Ho Uprising and recommend it to everyone I know on a pretty regular basis.
Thank you.
My name's Gustavo, and I'm queer, gender-fluid, Latinx person with some disability who can present masculine when necessary for my safety. Ideally, I would be writing to be a coho and talk about hoeing outside the binary, but living in Puerto Rico complicates this just a tad. Smiley face. For the question, any advice for a bookworm and recently discovered introvert with anxiety disorder for finding ways to hoe it up and not hoe it up non-monogamously? I guess my real question is, how do you go about starting things off with people you meet either on dating apps or in person? And should I be upfront about non-monogamy early on or wait until things feel more serious? All advice and hoe stories appreciated.
Thank you, Gustavo. Any advice?
Thank you, Gustavo. Well,
show
as
me up by any means necessary.
As me and Sam mentioned earlier, honestly, just state from the top what you're interested in, yeah. and I think that is the best advice, right? To be very honest from the beginning, to name what you're interested in, like where you see this going, and I think that could either lead you one of two ways. Like people will be like, "Oh yeah, thank you for your honesty. Like let's do this," mm-hmm. or they will be like, "Actually, I'm not interested in mm-hmm. this. Like this doesn't work for me." Mm-hmm. But I think honesty from the top is the best way to go about having encounters on these apps, especially if you're interested in non-monogamy. Because I think to have a successful non-monogamous relationship is all about communication.
Definitely, definitely. Communication, boundary set, over-communication in non-monogamous
for sure.
situations, definitely. Yeah, you don't want to like lead someone on and then be like, by the way, I'm non-monogamous, like a month in or something like that. Because ultimately the situation will fail. And I'm not sure like what it's like in Puerto Rico. I've never even been to Puerto Rico. Did you go to Puerto Rico recently?
I was in Puerto Rico recently. And
what's it like over there?
Puerto Rico was cute. Mm-hmm. I wish I had more time there, honestly. Mm-hmm. I can't really say how it is because okay. I spent like 12 hours there. Okay. But I really enjoyed my time. And like I had a lot of fun. Had a few, you know, prospects.
Okay.
To have some fun with in that 12-hour period. But I think I was more interested in
the culture experiences. And stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, but you would say, like, if someone wants to, a gender fluid queer person wants to non monogamous it up, there are options. You can't speak on that.
I can't call it.
Yeah, you can't speak on that.
Can't
okay.
call it.
Well, I would definitely say, at the very least, you know, it's a wide world out there. So try.
I think
let
that,
people know.
Yeah, I think there are people somewhere who are interested in what you might be possibly
yeah,
interested
definitely.
In.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's just the...
It's a whole country. Yeah. You'll find somebody.
Yeah, for sure.
But no. Yeah, just let people know up front what you're interested in and you'll have some fun. You'll have some fun. Over-communicate. Any advice for an introvert trying to get out there? Are you... Would you consider yourself an introvert?
I think I'm an ambivert. Like the... I feel like I'm always both and. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm never an either or kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm both and, so I feel very extrovert at times and introvert at times. People often read me as an extrovert, but I feel like I'm a very introverted extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
I have these moments where I'll be out and maybe the life of the party, and I'm just like, oh, I want some space.
Yeah, know, exactly. You get drained. I consider myself an ambivert as well.
Yeah.
But I feel like when the time comes for me to be an extrovert, I can, but ultimately I'm like, I have a headache.
Yeah.
I want to be in bed now.
Yeah. Watching Netflix or some shit.
Yeah.
On YouTube.
In which case, honestly, for an introverted person, dating apps is kind of the way because you don't have to like go out there and you can choose when you want to interact versus
right.
when you don't want to interact.
Right.
So I would suggest dating apps for you. Just kind of like, you know, filter your sources.
Yeah.
If it says no fats, no femmes in their bio, don't swipe right.
Yeah.
Things of that nature.
Damn.
Yeah. And if it does, just like, well, it's problematic dick for the night and I'm just going to go with what I'm gonna go with.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you for writing in, Gustavo. We're gonna end the show now. That's okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So would you
how
like
do
to
we end the show?
We are going to let you shout out some of your social media plugs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you already know what it is.
You already know what it is.
Yo. Shout out. Really being a bird at this point because I like how I sound. I'm just being
that's what happens when the headphones go on.
I'm
everybody's
a bird.
Like, oh, shit.
Brr, I'm a bird. So shout out to Sam and Inner Ho Uprising. You can find me on social media at Fat Femme. That's FATFEMME.
Mm-hmm. And that will be in the notes for this episode. Anything else you want to shout out?
FATFEMME.
And then we got the stepping crew and shit. Mom can step. The whole thing happens. Okay.
Yeah.
If you guys would like to
stay black.
Hell yeah.
Stay hydrated out here in the sun.
Yeah. Smoke your own weed.
And really live the life
get
that pleasures
you. Nice
that's what I want to say. Live the life that pleasures you.
You know,
and not the world.
That's good. That's good advice. So if you guys would like to follow the Inner Ho Uprising on all social media, you can find us at Inner Ho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Ho Uprising on Instagram, Inner Ho Uprising on Facebook. You can follow me personally at Slam Rid with two D's on Instagram and Twitter. You can go to innerhouprising.com to see Jamal's bio at some point, everybody else's bio. You can pay a bitch. There's so many things you can do there. You listen to every fucking episode. It's a whole website. Go to it. We are also ending the search for the coho for this season. So in the description for this episode, you are going to see a voting mechanism in which you can start voting for the cohos. We'll have about 3 more cohos after this, but you can start voting for who you like now and then vote again if you like the other people even more. Please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher, 5 stars only. I know I said I would tell you guys how to rate us, but I didn't do it yet. It was a hard week, but I'll do it next week. And then we're going to leave you off with a little something sexy, in which Jamal gives a little something sexy, a sound, a phrase. Which is what homie last night got. That was epic. We can end the show now.